Dear Lord Jesus, I lift up Dr. Tellers to you, and I ask that the word that you have prepared in his heart to share from you comes through and to listening ears and attentive hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wrote something on the board. I honestly feel that question mark. Hold that thought while I begin to teach. some years ago, Sharon and I had a chance to visit Turkey. And in the Old Testament, Turkey is referred to as Togarma. Say that with me. Togarma. Anytime you read Ezekiel and they talk about the alignment of nations coming against the state of Israel, Togarma is often mentioned. Turkey is aligned or abuts Russia. And for you that are students of the Word of God, to know the names like Persia, to understand the names of the Old Testament that we can apply to modern day is good to know, especially when you're dealing in the subject of eschatology. But Sharon and I, again, some while back, had a chance to visit Ephesus. Ephesus is a very interesting town in Turkey. It's a border town. And the topography it's kind of a inlet, if you will. There's hills surrounding Ephesus. And when Sharon and I toured that, we noticed the town. At that time, it was really more than a town. It was really a small city. We looked at what they had in those days from around 2,000 years ago. And actually, they built houses, can you believe it or not, with air conditioning. The way they set up and structured their buildings was that it kept it cold in the heat of the day, and that's right off the Mediterranean, but also warm at night, especially when it was cold. These people were not stupid. They're a very intelligent group. And if you read the book of Acts, you could see that Ephesus is referred to again and again. But tonight, I want to bring you on a journey. And this journey may be comfortable or maybe a little uncomfortable. But knowing that, I want you to take all of you to take a deep breath. I don't want you to get lethargic. Not a groan, Sister Jane, a breath. Okay? Let's go to the book of Revelation. Now, we've gone through this a number of times and have referred to different books of the book of Revelation. But again, the word revelation means an unveiling. And when John was on the Isle of Patmos, he entered into the Spirit of God, and there the angel of the Lord began to speak to him. And the first thing he spoke to us, especially in Revelation chapter 2, was about the churches, the local churches. People say, how important is the local churches? Many people think that they were always trying to go to large meetings and big congregations. But actually, I think Billy Graham had it correct. Dr. Graham had it correct. He says, I bring people together to get them saved, and I want to make sure that pastors are there and people are there that will mentor the people that get saved and draw them into their local churches. Amen. The local church is the heartbeat of God. Now, in those days, they didn't have church buildings, per se, but they met in homes. Sharon and I were saved in a home meeting. And I believe as things become worse and worse in this world, the chances are strong that the church may be meeting in homes, and sometimes to our own, peril. In China, they meet in homes. Brother Raji in India has 2,000 home churches.
Wow.
2,000. And he is constantly going throughout, teaching them the doctrine of Christ and teaching them the Word of God. But when we were in Ephesus, we saw this great semi-colosseum, if you will. And there in Ephesus, Sharon and I looked in and we saw all the chairs and seating that they had there, which is spoken of in the book of Acts. One of the characteristics of the Ephesus is that it was not only a thriving community, but it was a local church-centered area. And, you know, they used to have a saying when Natalie and Rachel went to Valley Christian. It was a, what kind of school was that? It was basically a Dutch school and from the Norwegian areas. And they would make statements that if you're not Dutch, you're not much. But Ephesus was a very important place. So much so that in the book of Revelation, John refers to it as in the first church. And he begins to write. Now, the word Ephesus means full-purposed. Full-purposed. I think the desire of most local churches, if they have a strong growth incentive, is to be full-purposed. We want a Sunday school. We want to have camp meetings. We want to have home meetings. We want to have special meetings with women, special meetings with the men. We want to have special classes. We want startup classes. Hey, we want to expand our building. Everybody, it seems, that becomes together, they have these visions of grandeur. Now, I'm not saying that these are bad things. These are good things. But the Church of Ephesus was starting to move in that arena. And I think the name Ephesus, meaning full purpose, has a lot to say. He says, under the angel of the church in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Revelation, it says, unto the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And look at what Jesus begins to say. I know thy works. I know thy Sunday schools. I know your camp meetings. I know your music ministry. I know your Bible studies. I know the women's meetings. I know these things, and I see these things, and you come together. And thy labor, these people would go out and take care of the hungry. They would clothe the naked. They had banks where they would store clothes, I'm sure. And like every local church. And he says, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. It's very easy when you're a Christian to become pretty self-righteous. You're ready to call out on the dime something that's evil and wrong. I'm not saying that's bad. That's good that we know the difference between good and evil. And thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. This was a sophisticated local church. They can identify who has the goods and who doesn't. I have seen, going to meetings in different local churches, people that want to take leadership positions, but I mean, they couldn't pump oil with a big oil rig. They had no anointing on their life, but they liked the idea of being prominent. You can see that with Hermogenes and those, especially in the book of Jude, where they came together and they rejected John the Apostle. So we find they were able to discern who had the anointing and who didn't, who were ministers and who were not. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. And this is the hardest part of the book of Ephesus, or the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, say that with me. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. I have somewhat against you because thou hast left, say it with me, thy first love. Sharon and I have been going on our marriage for 49 years. I can honestly, she should take the bow. And I'm going to tell you, with all those 49 years of marriage, I've never lost my first love for her. She takes it day by day. But for me, I've never lost my first love for her. From the time I saw her carrying the groceries to the car, I loved her, and I still do so much. But Jesus is saying every local church has to do these things, these Sunday schools, these events, pool parties, which was very good, I might add, Reverend Natalie and Justin. All these events. If Jesus is not loved the way he wants to be loved, it's all in vain. And when Jesus writes to the church at Ephesus, now let me tell you something about this church in Ephesus. I already gave you the topography and what it was about. But if you look and went to Ephesus, you would see up on a hill a building, a small house. It's been there for thousands of years. And there it is suggested in tradition that John, after the cross, was told, "Behold thy mother, Mary, behold thy son." They believe, and history tends to bear this out, I'll argue with my doctors later, that John the Apostle took the mother of Jesus to Ephesus, and there was a house overlooking the city of Ephesus where he took care of her, and we assume till the day of her death. This is a very special place. This is a place where we believe that John the Apostle, the writer of the book of Revelations, I'm always intrigued that Ephesus was the first church. The first thing you do, you point at yourself before you point at anybody else. And nevertheless, Jesus says to them, "I have this against you. You do all these things," and Jesus enumerates them, "but you've left your first love." Oh God, help us, Pastor, if we ever lose our first love. That scares me more than anything. I had a taste of an email that Dr. Aaron wrote to Justin. Justin received a word of the Lord at Synergy, I believe. And he says, as he was reading the prophecy, that the Spirit of God fell on him. And I thought that was very powerful. What did that mean to you, Doctor, when the Spirit of God fell on you?
Unless he tells me otherwise, I usually take that as confirmation of what I'm hearing.
Yes. God has been good to us all. He has spoken to us through the voice of the prophets, through a prophetic group. Now, I'm going to be very careful, and I'm going to be a little dicey here. Remember that prophecy could be the spirit of prophecy or the gift of prophecy, but do not mistake them for the prophet. That's a different category. When we say we have a prophetic church, we're talking about a church that is given to exhortation, edification, and comfort. Now, if we love God and we want to honor Jesus, doesn't it make sense that we would find out what he likes and what he doesn't like? Does that make sense? My wife likes me to take my dish and put it in the sink. She would love me to death if I washed the dish, but I do take it to the sink sometimes. I'm trying to get to our 50th, so no laughs, okay?
Yes, sir.
But if you go to the book of Proverbs, let's find out what God doesn't like in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 6 of Proverbs, please go there. Tell me when you're there, because I'm not. Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, since you have phones, listen, as much as I like to use my Bible, I do use my Bible every day, but those phones you can really jump around on and you can really get to the place. And my app gives me a concordance, it gives me the language, so I love it. And I'm afraid that some preachers get caught up with the fact that if you're not actually holding the literal book, but to each his own, cui bono, as we would say in Latin, right? Cui bono, to each his own. So it says in Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16, these six things does the Lord, say the word with me,
hate.
That's pretty strong. Seven are an abomination unto him. That's powerful. These seven things God hates, and one is a real abomination to him. And he says a proud look. Arrogancy. When I first became a real estate broker and I'd sometimes drive on the sidewalks, you know, to get to the house I want, I didn't want to wait and behind the traffic, so I'd drive on the sidewalks. And people say, why would you do that? This is a matter of fact. My name is Kurt Tellers, and I'm a broker. Boo over Rover, Kurt's coming through. That's proud. And what does he hate? He hates the arrogancy in the church. The second thing he hates is a lying tongue. All you have to do is turn on your TV and it lies at you. Hands that shed innocent blood. Thank the Lord Jesus that Roe v. Wade was overturned. But don't get it in your mind. We have our resident attorney here. They didn't do away with abortion. They just sent it to the states. And the people in the states are the ones that will vote in the representatives that will either allow abortion or put restrictions on it. But isn't it a state issue, Sister Alyssa, now with Roe v. Wade?
Yes.
There.
You got it, Dr. Tellers.
Thank you. And she'll send me a bill in the morning.
That's one of the few times that she's answered with one word. And not like prefaced her answer by explaining it.
I hope there's a first time for that.
I hope that there's not too many zeros behind the bill. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. That's why I really detest mobs. Mob violence. A false witness that speaketh lies. How many have seen that? And it's growing and increasing more and more. I was listening to some congressional hearings, and they were interviewing a lady that was prominent in a major university, and she was queried by the congressman and said, well, mothers have babies, or women have babies. She says, not so fast. Men can have them too. I guess they can twist the body around and they can do all types of surgery and a man can have a baby. Or if they are hermaphrodites. And boy, there's less than 10 in this nation that are that
she
way.
She's talking about women
Transgender.
Identify as men.
I watched those hearings today because a friend of mine, Denise Harley, mm-hmm. went and testified. And so she was specifically talking about transgendered women who identified as men.
Right. So they can get pregnant.
Oh, I
yes.
see.
That was her point.
Oh, I see.
That was her point.
They're biologically born a woman, and so if they've either physically changed their outward appearance or if they've had surgery, they still have the equipment to have a baby.
But the internal plumbing is still there.
Oh. Yeah.
Internal plumbing.
Right.
Thank you again. Just add that to the bill.
I'll bill you some.
Okay. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth, and I want you to say it, discord among the brethren. Discord among the brethren. That's something that God considers as an abomination. Sowing discord among the brethren. Okay. Are you ready for where I'm going now? I'm kind of like Rachel. Rachel's my daughter, and we like to beat around the bush until we zero in on what we want. But how many of you said this? I have. I honestly feel that such and such and such and such. I honestly feel that Brother Jeffrey and Sister Edith made that blueberry jam, blackberry jam, just for me. And I was offended. I felt honestly offended that they would give all those jars out to the whole body. And I feel that way. I said, how can they do that? I pray for their chickens to lay eggs. How many of us said this? That I honestly feel that. And often that is the excuse for sowing discord among the brethren. I honestly feel that Reverend Natalie doesn't like me. Do you think that's true? Don't say a word. Do you think that's true? Even though I honestly feel it. How many of you had honest feelings about things, but were wrong? We're wrong. Okay. Consider carefully Genesis 1:1. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to do it by memory now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And it goes on to say that the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep. The word moved in the Hebrew means brooded. Brooded. Just as a mother would lose a child. She brooded. The Holy Spirit brooded across the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. It's so much so, he is so sensitive, the Holy Spirit, the God of the Holy Spirit, that if you blaspheme the name of Jesus and you offend the Holy Spirit, it's curtains. It's over. And there's three things that can cause a person to lose their justification. First of all, the continual operation of the Spirit of God trying to reach somebody to bring them to Jesus, and they continually reject it. That's resisting the Holy Spirit promise. Another way of doing it is calling Jesus demon-possessed or evil. Calling good evil and evil good. Maybe I shouldn't tell you these things. You'll say, I wonder if I ever did that. No. But the Spirit of God is referred to as the Comforter. The Spirit of God broods. The Spirit of God weeps. How many of you have ever had the Spirit of God well up in you? I know it's happened to Pastor Suzanne and me, where we just wanted to cry. Have you tried to witness to somebody for a long time, and at the final analysis, they say, thanks, but no thanks, I'm good. And I say, I just weep inside. You are going to meet people that are the walking damned in your life. And you're going to weep inside. Well, who's weeping? The Spirit of God that is in you, because you are temples of the Spirit of God. So let's consider carefully from Genesis. The man, and Natalie alluded, not only alluded, she taught it, that man was made in the image and likeness of God. That means that man has a physical body. He has an inner body. He has his own mind, will, and emotions. Thank God we have a mind. That's why it's written, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. But there's another part to that. We have our own will. I will drive on the sidewalks. Thank you very much. That's my will. We have a picture of Dr. Rachel when she was a little girl. She didn't want her photograph taken when she was in second grade. It's interesting, she'll be teaching second grade in school. And Sharon sent her back to school to the photographer to get her picture taken. At that time, they wore pigtails. And Sharon would grab those pigtails. You get there and take care of that. And we could look at the picture. I will charge you a dollar to see it, or Sharon will. Where Rachel is standing up, and you can see it written on her forehead, I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. Strong will. But there's another part, and that's our emotions. Our emotions. Now, please, before I keep going, thank God for emotions. Emotions are part of the fabric of us being human. And God has emotions. So we have the Father, which is the inner man, the soul of the Godhead. We have the Holy Spirit, which is the emotions, if you will, the mind, will, and emotions of the Godhead. And we have Jesus, the outer body of the Godhead. And Jesus had one unique thing. We call it the hypostatic union, for you scholars. And that is that Jesus not only had the Holy Spirit, but he had his own human spirit, too. He was both God and man. He was totally unique. It says he's the mediator between God and man. How could he identify with man and the Father unless he had a human spirit? And if you read the scriptures carefully, it says it was his spirit. What saves us? Is it the Holy Spirit? No, the Holy Spirit's the guarantor. It's the human spirit of Jesus. Remember what it says? Man, or Adam was the first man. Adam was a living soul. But Jesus from heaven was a life-giving spirit. It's his spirit that brings life. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption. Now, why am I going through this? Because as much as I love emotions, I love cats and puppies, I love Menudo, there's a lot of things that I really love. Tonight, my grandson, Sawyer, came over, and he sat in my lap, and we watched a very interesting movie, Knuckles. It's a cartoon. But I was just delighted to sit there with him in my arms as he played with the remote controller. I was just welled up inside that he would want to sit with Grandpa. I love to have good feelings. Don't you all?
Amen.
Isn't feelings a good thing?
Amen.
Yeah. Have a mountain bike.
But look at very carefully. I honestly feel that is the thing that we got to be most careful about. Because we can so discard, because we use two words. I honestly feel, and we think it makes it okay. Many people, I know it's debated, at Lazarus' tomb it says, Jesus wept. Was he weeping? Because he didn't know what he was going to do by raising Lazarus from the dead? Or was he weeping because he had been close to three and a half years with all these people, that Mary and Martha, and didn't recognize, I am the resurrection and the life. What are you crying about? It brings you to tears. Have you ever gone through a long lecture, as I have, where I've talked to people for a long time and I've tested them on it, and then they come to you after you expended yourself for 2 hours, and they say, I don't get it. You just want to cry. What don't you get? What don't you understand? So, our mind has to be the mind of Christ. But look at what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive press. Gethsemane means olive press. Jesus, do you think the human part, his emotions, wanted to go through the pain of that horrible death? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Do you think that was a cry from the Holy Spirit, or was it a cry from the human spirit of Jesus? So much so that he sweat as if drops of blood. Very depressed. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. And here's where I'm coming. Okay. God has given us our mind, will, and emotions. The brothers and sisters, sowing discord among the brethren often is caused, I honestly feel. What if I came and I said to Pastor Suzanne, I honestly feel that God hasn't planted you here for 25 years. I honestly feel it. Is that honest feeling right? Is that feeling correct? I've heard the Spirit of God say over many of you, I have planted you here for a season. And then to have somebody come to you and say, I honestly feel that they missed God on this. Or I honestly feel that this or that. And what happens?
Stop it.
Many times people honestly feel that, and then what do they want to do? Share it with everybody. I don't think, and I don't feel that sonship feeds me enough. And you start showing discord among the brethren. Yeah, you know. And it starts like a plague and begins to move through a congregation. I can't tell you how many churches have split and split and split and split because someone or some people or groups in the local body have sown discord among the brethren by saying, I honestly feel that. And I've heard it. I've heard it all my Christian life. And I'm telling you, if you know somebody's planted in a certain place, and you go up to them and feel it, I think God is moving you because they're not feeding you well enough. I honestly feel that. And they think because you think honestly and feel that that's so. That is not so. That's sowing discord among the brethren. God considers that an abomination. Now, let's keep going. We are surrounded in Hebrews chapter 12 by a great crowd of witnesses. And you can go there. And you can see it is dealing with faith. And that's a good thing. I believe in faith. But I would like to show you something that some of you may or may not know. As a prophetic church, I'm going to quit calling it. We are a school of prophets because some of us are prophets. And we're training others. But actually, we're a prophetic church. So let's talk about the Spirit of God and your spirit. Okay. We know we have the spirit of prophecy. We have the gift of prophecy. And we know that these are given by God in the church to different people. The prophet is different. It's a whole different category. But can a prophet sometimes make mistakes? Yes. Look at how many so-called prophets bit the dust when Donald Trump was an elected president. People assumed they were prophets when they were moving with their emotions. And I tell you, I talked to Dr. Aaron about this. I said, I want the Trumpster to be elected in 2020. I'm praying every day, but I still can't make the gap between what the Spirit of God is telling me and what my spirit tells me. Is that right, Reverend Aaron?
That's what
you said. And he also knew. But there's so many. Didn't. Let me tell you what happens. You see, as servants of the Lord, you've got to learn something. You've got to be able to distinguish between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And that deals in the area of emotion. Because I really wanted the Trumpster to be president, there had to be a defining line between what the Spirit of God was saying to me and what I wanted, my spirit was saying. And believe me, those lines can become so, so close. And when you're in a church and you're not following the guidelines, which is basically this, when we move as prophets, we should be dealing with an audience or with a group of people that we don't know. So there's no emotion involved. Now, it doesn't mean we can't do it that way, but if you've ever noticed, Pastor Suzanne or Brother Justin, Dr. Aaron, Rachel, if there's a question, we are very careful to talk among each other. I've been told when Dr. Neal was here not to say a thing. They told me to shut up, sit down. What did I do? Shut up and sit down. I understand that in a church where we want the best for everybody, our emotions become so close that we can't barely distinguish between the word of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Why does he want us to move in exhortation, edification, and comfort? Because edification always builds up, and that's always God. To build up and say, Jeffrey, you're a good-looking guy.
Thank you.
But not good enough for Edith. No, I'm just kidding. you just thank God every day God has given you Edith. And I'll take the money later, Edith. Okay.
You like my jokes?
I get to go home with a girl.
Do you understand that our spirits and our emotions can be foggy at times?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It can. Why have we talked so often for over the years to read the Bible through at least twice a year? More in my university classes, they are required to do it 3 to 5 times a year. I do it. I know many of you do. What are we trying to find? We know that there's a Spirit of God comes through the Word of God. This is a phenomenal book that we have for iPhone, for the app on. Phenomenal book because it teaches us what the Spirit of God is doing. And you'll notice that the prophets, and I'm going to make an observation, you can disagree with me later. But have you noticed that a lot of the prophets were a little surly? Consider Elijah. Called fire out of heaven, smoked 50 soldiers twice. How about being called bald? Notice that by Elisha.
Yeah.
The bears came out and whipped those young punks. Consider Isaiah with Hezekiah. How Isaiah had to go to his house while he was sitting down inside, probably not talking much. Nathan and the other prophets. Jeremiah is a funny prophet for me. Can I tell you why? Would you be interested in me tell you why? He's called the weeping prophet. And the thing is, God called him as a prophet to the nations. And I believe it was a very strong mercy motivation. But I believe God did a special work. That's why we can't be absolutists when we deal with ministry. It says God gives to everyone a ministry in something, service in some area. But the administration of that gift is unique to every one of us. How you may deliver healing and prophecy, how you may deliver the word of knowledge, may be different than the way I do it.
It's true.
You may prophesy, oldsters, youngsters, and in-betweensters. And people say, that can't be God. They're not using King James English. I agree with them, but I'm sorry, God uses other language. So when we deal with the spirit of prophecy and the gift of prophecy, we're dealing with exhortation, edification, and comfort. And that is always good to build the body of Christ. You never can go wrong building somebody up in the faith. But when it comes to the realm of the prophet, as the prophet pointed to David, and Natalie said this, and my heart just burned within me. You are that man. You have killed Uriah the Hittite. You took another man's wife. and the how your house is going to have a sword against it than Absalom and all the problems he had. And what is the first thing that David does? He runs to the house of the Lord and says, take not your Holy Spirit from me, O God, forgive me. So, going back to the statement, it disappeared. I forgot, I shouldn't have wiped it away. I honestly feel that. Lose it. Because our emotions are a wonderful gift from God, but they are not definitive truth. Jesus says, my word is truth. I am the truth. Truth is an absolute. It's absolute in a person that is eternal in the heavens, that coheres the universe with the span of his hand. So never say, if it gets in your spirit, well, I don't feel fed, or I don't feel like that brother likes me, or so-and-so doesn't want me, or the church just rejects me. That's feelings. Lose it. Because if you sow that to somebody else, it will infect them. And God considers that an abomination. And when Jesus spoke of the church of Ephesus, he said, you do all these things right, but this one thing you do, you've lost your first love. And as Natalie pointed out in her teaching, what is his love? To love God. And what else are we to love? One another. It's the Shema. It's the Shema. May the blessings of Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, be upon each and every one of you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Any thoughts or comments anybody would like to make? Anybody feel led? Are you able, Natalie, to do the prayer and communion? Is that okay, Pastor?
Sure.
Always like to check with Pastor.